Hello and welcome to Books Podcast and Politics Weekly listeners. I'm Richard Lee from the Books Desk at The Guardian, where this week we're publishing a series of extracts from Mohamedou Ould Slahi's Guantanamo diary. Written in his single-cell segregation hut at Camp Echo in 2005, this 466-page manuscript tells the story of his arrest, torture, and the imprisonment without charge which continues to this day, more than 13 years after he was first detained. But the regime under which he's currently held means that his words were classified from the moment he set them down on paper. After years of litigation and 2,500 US government redactions, Slahi's memoir is finally being published. We've teamed up with Canongate Books to present the full declassified manuscript online at guantanamodiary.com, as well as a series of extracts from his ordeal at the Guardian website. With Slahi still locked up in Guantanamo Bay, we've assembled a group of celebrated writers, actors and cultural figures, including Harry Kunzru, Benedict Cumberbatch and Shami Chakrabarti, to bring his words to life on this special podcast series.
Following Mohamedou's confession, conditions are gradually improved in his segregated cell.
The guards were working in a two-shift routine, day shift and night shift. Whenever the new shift showed up, they made their presence known by banging heavily on the door of my cell to scare me. Whenever the new shift appeared, my heart started to pound because they always came up with new ideas to make my life a living hell, like giving me very little food by allowing me about 30 seconds to 1 minute to eat it, or forcing me to eat every bit of food I got in a very short time. "You better be done," they would shout. Or they'd make me clean the shower excessively, or made me fold my towels and my blanket in an impossible way, again and again, until they were satisfied. To forbidding me any kind of comfort items, they added new rules. 1. I should never be lying down. Whenever a guard showed up at my bin hole, I always had to be awake, or wake up as soon as a guard walked into my area. There was no sleeping in the terms that we know. 2. My toilet should always be dry. And how, if I'm always urinating and flushing? In order to meet the order, I had to use my only uniform to dry the toilet up and stay soaked in shit. 3. My cell should be in a predefined order, including having a folded blanket, so I could never use my blanket. That was the guard's recipe. I always showed more fear than I felt as a self-defence technique. Not that I would like to play the hero, I'm not, but I wasn't scared of the guards because I just knew they had orders from above. If they reported back that detainee wasn't scared, the doses would have been increased. Meanwhile, I had my own recipe. First of all, I always knew that I was really just a stone's throw away from... The interrogators and the guards always hinted at the godforsaken nowhere I was in, but I ignored them completely. And when the guards asked me, "Where do you think you are?" I just responded, "I'm not sure, but I'm not worried about it. Since I'm far away from my family, it doesn't really matter to me where I am." And so I always closed the door whenever they referred to the place. I was afraid that I'd be tortured if they knew I knew where I was, but it was kind of solacing. No, you're not far away from your fellow detainees. Once I figured out how to tell day from night, I kept count of the days by reciting 10 pages of the Quran every day. In 60 days, I would finish and start over. And so I could keep track of the days. "Shut the fuck up! There's nothing to sing about," said when he heard me reciting the Quran. After that, I recited quietly, so nobody could hear me. But the days of the week were still messed up. I failed to keep track of them until I glimpsed watch when he pulled it out of his pocket to check the time. He was very vigilant and careful, but it was too late. I saw him, but he didn't notice. Friday is a very important Muslim holiday, and that was the reason I wanted to keep track of the weekdays. Besides, I just hated the fact that they deprived me of one of my basic freedoms. I tried to find out everybody's name who was involved in my torture. Not for retaliation or anything like that. I just didn't want those people to have the upper hand over any of my brothers or anybody, no matter who he is. I believe they should not only be deprived of their powers, but they should also be locked up. I succeeded in knowing the names of the two of my interrogators, two of the guards, and other interrogators who weren't involved directly in my torture, but could serve as witnesses. When I first met Americans, I hated their language because of the pain they made me suffer without a single reason. I didn't want to learn it. But that was emotion. The call of wisdom was stronger, and so I decided to learn the language. Even though I already knew how to conjugate to be and to have, my luggage of English was very light. Since I wasn't allowed to have books, I had to pick up the language mostly from the guards and sometimes my interrogators. And after a short time, I could speak like common folk. He don't care, she don't care, I ain't done nothing, me and my friend did so-and-so, F this and F that, damn X and damn Y. I also studied the people around me. My observations resulted in knowing that only white Americans were appointed to deal with me, both guards and interrogators. There was only one black guard, but he had no say. His associate was a younger white, but the latter was always in charge. You might say, how do you know the ranks of the guards when they were covered? I wasn't supposed to know who was in charge, nor should they have given me a hint as to who the boss was. But in America, it's very easy to notice who the boss is. There's just no mistaking him. My suspicion of me being near was cemented when one day I got some of the diet I was used to back in. Why did they give me a hot meal? I asked the sarcastic head guard. Doctor said we had to. I really looked like a ghost, just bones, no meat. In a matter of weeks, I developed grey hair on the lower half of the sides of my head, a phenomenon people in my culture refer to as the extreme result of depression. Keeping up the pressure was vital in the process of my interrogation. The plan worked. The more pressure, the more stories I produced, and the better my interrogators felt toward me. And then, slowly but surely, the guards were advised to give me the opportunity to brush my teeth, to give me more warm meals, and to give me more showers. The interrogators started to interrogate me. Was the one who took the first steps. But I'm sure there'd been a meeting about it. Everybody in the team realised that I was about to lose my mind due to my psychological and physical situation. I'd been so long in segregation. Please get me out of this living hell, I said. You will not go back to the population any time soon, told me. Her answer was harsh but true. There was no plan to get me back. The focus was on holding me segregated as long as they could and gathering information from me. I still had nothing in my cell. Most of the time I read the Quran silently. The rest of the time I was talking to myself and thinking over and over about my life and the worst case scenarios that could happen to me. I kept counting the holes of the cage I was in. There are about 4,100 holes. Maybe because of this, happily started to give me some puzzles that I could spend my time solving. If we discover that you lied to us, you're going to feel our wrath, and we're going to take everything back. This can go back to the old days, you know that? Used to tell me whenever he gave me a puzzle. My heart would pound, but I was like, what a jackass. Why can't he let me enjoy my reward for the time being? Tomorrow is another day. I started to enrich my vocabulary. I took a paper and started to write words I didn't understand and explained them to me. If there is anything positive about, it's his rich vocabulary. I don't remember asking him about a word he couldn't explain to me. English was his only real language, though he claimed to be able to speak Farsi. I wanted to learn French, but I hated the way they speak and I quit, he said.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.